He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the pre-Thanksgiving edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We've got a little bit of green on the screen here this morning, and I think probably the traders put in their trades, and now they're headed for the airport or the Hamptons or something like that. Things have really things have quieted down here. But the Dow is up 187. We'll take that anytime. It's at 47,300. The NASDAQ is up 67. That's a quarter of a percent, 23,090. The S&P is up 25 points, 6,790. And small caps, the Russell 2000, they're up a half a percent right now. That's how the equities are doing. Let's see how the bond market is doing. It is at 4.02%. That's not bad. Bessent doing his job, selling those bonds around the world. He's a great bond salesman. 4.03% right now. Gold is up 19 basis points to 4,185. I would still argue it's been the most consistent performer in 2025. Crude oil is at 57.88, which is getting down near break even for the oil producers. And Bitcoin, it's trying. It's up 785 to 87,009 so far. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, CEO, president of Gunderson Capital Management, also the head market strategist and chief investment officer. I'm here with Barry Keit, our chartered financial analyst and our certified financial planner. I was just looking at Bitcoin, Barry, which touched 82,863 early or late last week, 82,000. And now it's back to 87,000. So it is up about 4,000 points off the low. But it still continues to struggle trying to get some traction here, I think.
Still, yes. I mean, still for Bitcoin, particularly how volatile it is, I mean, it's not, in that case, it's not really that far from its support level. I mean, the 1 year support level, what, right around 76,000, 75,000 maybe, and, we're going to need to see some fervor. We've talked about it. We need to see some fervor there before you get that reinflation of the speculation trade.
Yeah, right? The speculation trade is still pretty tough out there right now. And, you know, it seems to me that Bitcoin is tied quite a bit to the Fed. And there's renewed hope. I don't know why. I guess some of the economic reports that have come out recently that we will get that decision. You know, that's all they're going to talk about for the next 4 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is.
That's the
will
narrative.
We get a
And I don't know if we lost Bill there. We're still live, but we'll get Bill back here in just a second. Yep, he just dropped, but we'll be right back. But yeah, I mean, in terms of just in terms of where the market's been, I mean, in terms of Bitcoin, it's there's a big leverage problem. I mean, you're going to think that. I mean, the high in Bitcoin is around, call it 125. It wasn't there long, 125,000, but as it's pulled back, there's a lot of leverage there. There's a lot of, capital that literally disappeared. It's never, that those dollars aren't coming back in as a demand function for future Bitcoin. I mean, some of that money, whoever held those positions are going to have to end up going out and earning more money somewhere, and then they'll have more money to dive back into Bitcoin. But it's been, we've seen it across that speculative space, and Bill's been, we've been talking about it for a while. Those small tributaries, with the tide being so up and down here in Charleston, you can have a 8-foot, 12-foot tide. Of course, that water gets way into the back country, low country in there, and of course, those can be plentiful from a fishing standpoint, but of course, as the tide goes out, those fish leave quickly, and that's what we've seen, particularly in the whether it's a quantum space, as Bill said, the your personal nuclear reactor space, and certainly across the board in crypto and in any of those crypto related stock positions that you may have out there. But the good news is we've got, at least at the moment, we've got still got some green on the screen. Not too many traders, I guess, maybe have left yet, but we expect, volumes to be, historically pretty low today. Obviously on Friday will be a pretty low volume likely there. Who knows? Normally it's not too much news events during this time, but we'll see what the next few days bring. Of course, good news is right now we've got the NASDAQ leading the way up 0.45% now, up 102 points in the green. Really all the equity indexes in the green. S&P 500 up 0.4%, the Dow up just under 0.4 as well. So basically got everything's up 0.4% across the board, and even gold getting a bit of a bump today at 0.31%. I will tell you, oil is one thing we've looked at here on the screen. It's up a tiny bit here today, but you've got of course, as potentially things begin to look better from potential peace deal, right, with Ukraine and Russia. I don't not holding my breath on that one, but if that does come to fruition, obviously that should likely push crude oil prices down, because at some point I guess you would have a potential influx of Russian oil at some point. And we've also, had obviously pro-drilling policies here, and OPEC continuing to increase supply. So we've got oil down still under 60. It's been under 60 for a good bit of of 2025, and that's one beneficial point, and one of the reasons we saw producer price index come in better than expected yesterday. So what we've seen, I think, a lot of these rallies has really been strictly in the interest. It's really been an interest rate story really since, I guess, end of the day, maybe Friday, over the weekend, where you've really seen the, as Bill was mentioning before he dropped here, that your chances of a Fed cut at the December 10th decision will be 83% at this point. So we've really gone. I mean, at one point we were at 91% a month ago. Just last week we were at a 30% chance of a cut, and then of course sitting today we're at an 85% chance of a cut. So it doesn't take a rocket science to show that really this kind of bit of a rebound that we've had in the last few days on the equity side, really driven, as it is a lot of times, driven by interest rate expectations. So we'll continue to get more information from the Fed, see what the committee is going to decide to do in terms of, should be a pretty interesting one, actually. You've got a number of Fed members, kind of a split decision, so it'll be interesting. Number one, it's kind of hard to handicap which way the Fed's going to go. Of course, it looks like the market has made it weighed in and where they think things will lie at 85-83% right now. But it's actually, I'm just thinking about the Fed minutes are usually kind of old and a bit boring, but the Fed minutes, whenever those come out, I don't know if they usually come out a few weeks after the Fed meeting, but those will be really interesting to go through to see some of the discussion between various voting members there, and see how that shakes up in terms of who's on whose side and where that goes going forward. I think, of course, for 2026, we would the administration's going to likely stack the deck a bit. So regardless of if we do get a cut at the end of in this December meeting, likely setting up for a number of cuts in the first part of 2026. So but we'll obviously keep our eyes on that there. In terms of Google, yesterday the biggest story was kind of Google and kind of this narrative of NVIDIA continuing to get kind of chipped away at, if you will, in terms of their competitive advantage and in terms of their, you know, shine on the, you know, on the particular stock itself. Of course, the latest yesterday with Meta potentially purchasing Google AI chips. That kind of put a damper on NVIDIA stock yesterday, and it's been fairly weak today, or it's been fairly weak over the last, you know, week or two, getting a little bit of a bounce up, 0.9% today at just under $180. We're just getting going. We'll get Bill back for the second part of the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks. Now, apparently, I disconnected somewhere along the line.
Hey, I got you. It took me a second to figure it out, but we finished out the segment.
The middle of my, you know, the point I was making is this news on NVIDIA yesterday and Google's chip. The other player in all of this is Broadcom. And Broadcom, I noticed yesterday, was breaking out in a beautiful stock chart. And, you know, Google has teamed up with Broadcom on this chip that supposedly is challenging NVIDIA. At the same time, NVIDIA stock has recovered a lot. So I think when they assess it all, they don't see it right now as big of a threat to NVIDIA. I mean, NVIDIA was down 6% initially yesterday on the news, and it's pretty much recovered all of that. But I think the play here is Broadcom, AVGO, which we do own. I better plug in my laptop here. We're going to run out of juice. Okay. I need a little modular reactor for my office.
What you need, we need a little nuclear reactor, like a little USB. You just put it right in, and it just stays charged. Right?
The solar's not keeping up with me. I need a hot rock to boil water that creates steam that runs my nuclear reactor here.
It's been a little overcast. The last couple of days, so
you're not getting much sun on that panel. Okay, now other news. I do run my office mostly on solar. I have two giant solar batteries and panels on our balcony here. On our house, and we do have a lot of sun here in South Carolina, and it does pretty much run my little office here. But yeah, when the clouds come in, it's not much help. Okay,
yeah, 91% humidity yesterday didn't help.
That didn't help you out, right? No, that's why I'm struggling a little bit here today and disconnecting from the radio and all kinds of things. I think my brain disconnected. Okay. Novo Nordisk, that's not the story I want. But they did, you know, Trump made a deal.
They're
Medicare,
power, right? Yeah.
Medicare. That is a huge, huge thing. Why is Lilly one of the strongest stocks in the entire market now? Because now they're going to have the Medicare people being able to get the wonder drug, Zepbound, or Ozempic. They're both pretty much the same thing. And, I mean, it's unbelievable. I see results all over the place. I see guys that I've known for a long time, and I haven't seen them for a while. All of a sudden, they're like down 40 pounds, 30 pounds, 45 pounds. I go, wow, I know that guy's on Zepbound. That's good news. And the price, I'll have to find that. They listed the price today, but it's at a steep discount from what you pay over the counter. Initial jobless claims, that was really low. 216,000 is all.
Yeah, I mean, and do you see the amount of data we got today? I mean, it's like I was going through the economic calendar. It's like, I mean, there must be 15 items on here today. But, yeah, 226.
That's great.
Yeah, 226 was consensus. The other interesting thing is
In terms of, you know, continuing claims, they're, you know, pretty close to in line, 1.96 million compared to 1.953 million. So decent report there, and you know, the good news is it's not too great. It's not like it came in at, you know, 150,000 or 100, you know, so we're, you know, so this is a report that, you know, you've talked about it, and I talked about it while you were out, but the you know, we've got an 85% chance right now of a Fed cut at the December 10th decision day.
I continue to say that the first signs of trouble in the economy will show up in these jobless weekly, because we get them every week.
Yeah.
And we've had a few scares along the way where we got up into the mid 200,000s, but here we are at 216,000. Okay, Dan Ives weighs in on the Google chip. He says that Google's Tensor Processing Unit, TPUs, are not shaking NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang, following reports that Meta Platforms is in talks to spend billions on the Alphabet unit's AI chips. Google's TPU chips, along with its key partner, Broadcom.
There you go.
Now listen, where did I see Broadcom first in the chart? You know, all of a sudden, 3 days ago, look, the chip stocks are weak right now. NVIDIA does not have a very healthy chart. AMD's down like 15% from its high recently. Marvell has been very shaky recently. And I said to myself late last week, why is Broadcom bucking the trend and starting to be accumulated? I saw it in the chart yesterday, still not knowing that it was tied at the hip to Google's chip. I saw Broadcom's chart surging and breaking through resistance. It's been in a sideways trend. It's the strongest chip stock with the best pattern, technical pattern. It already meets my momentum and performance criteria because it's been a top performer over the last decade.
Yeah.
This is number
it's
two,
a name.
Number
it's a name
three
we've
chip
owned.
Stock.
Yeah,
we've owned it
we've
off
owned
and on.
A number of times. We own the bond.
Yeah, so. And yesterday, it broke through that resistance, and I go, uh-oh, there's something going on here, and we did take a big position in Broadcom, back in it, and now this news is breaking today that the partner, now somebody obviously knew, but it was showing up in the chart. That's where I saw it. And usually when you see a company breaking out, in a very dull sector right now, you can almost guess that there's something is going to come along, some kind of news. And here's the news. Now, here's his bottom line. He goes on to say that their TPU chips, along with key partner Broadcom, are now front and center and gaining some clear momentum in the AI market. And this is a great thing. Just like AMD's recent success, and we see in the future the other big tech stalwarts getting in the AI chip race. He said, however, that the AI revolution starts and ends with NVIDIA today, and that is not changing for another few years, okay? Dan Ives is pretty much the guy to... the go-to guy on this whole chip race. So I say that NVIDIA has not topped out at $5 trillion. There's no way. It's cooled off. And, you know, at some point there will be. Now, he's saying it's got at least a couple of years left to go with this big lead that they have in the AI arms race. Okay. Listen to this. Okay, we went into Google. Okay, I'm going to give you the date because we document everything here. When I come back, we got in at July 18th. What is that, 4 months ago? Guess who scooped up a bunch of Google yesterday? We'll be back with that. You can cogitate that during the break. This is the Best Stocks Now show. I've been on the right trail. But I must be the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place. And I wonder what it's good for. I've been in a right place.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Kathy Wood scoops up. She must have a big scoop over there. That's the verbiage they always use with her, is she scoops up.
Big old shovel over there.
I think it's something else that I use a scoop for when we used to have a horse stable and a couple of horses. We had a couple of big scoops, you know. She scoops up 174,000 shares of Alphabet. I wouldn't buy it today myself. We own it. We bought it back in June. I hate to pick on her, but, you know, everybody does. If you watch Jim Cramer, she just not, I don't know. I mean, when her fund takes off, it really takes off.
It's a rocket ship.
Yeah, and when it crashes, it really crashes. And she just doesn't, she just keeps doing the same thing. I think she's a little bit older than I am, so she's not going to change her ways at this point in her life. But anyways, good. God bless her.
It's just interesting because it's like, you know, when you, I mean, I see like, you know, different articles, and it always kind of tilts. I don't know. It's weird now. It's over time. It's kind of like tilts it to where, you know, it's literally the, you know, one of them says, you know, share, it picks up shares as valuation climbs, right?
Yeah, they're usually a negative.
Which would tell me buy higher, which I read that as buy high, sell low, right? I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know.
Well, we're up 74% on Google since we bought it in July 18th. And now she's getting in. So I don't know. Look, hey, everybody in the, that's why they call it a market.
Maybe she'll add an additional leg to it for us, you know.
Yeah,
I'm all for it.
Yeah, that it did have it. It's down today for the first time in 2 weeks. All right, since she paid for it. Now I've heard Jim Cramer say that she's the kiss of death. He says when he hears she's buying, she was buying GM a couple years ago, and GM just tanked right after she bought it, and he blames her for being the kiss of death on stocks. Deutsche Bank made a big prediction yesterday. They predicted that the S&P would be 8,000 by the end of next year, which I think, you know, that's really optimistic. That's pushing the envelope quite a bit. Now they're saying that gold is setting up for a run towards 5,000 in 2026. So we'll see. I write these. You got to write these predictions down. Yeah, there used to be a guy on talk radio. I loved listening to Art Bell. On a night when you couldn't sleep, he broadcast from Pahrump, Nevada, and late at night, coast to coast, and people would call in, usually about UFO sightings, or they had a Martian in their refrigerator up in Oregon, or something like that. It was interesting to listen to a lot of conspiracy theories, etc. Where was I going with that? I forget now. And Art Bell, he would write down all these predictions at the beginning of the year, because those are the kind of people he had on as guests. You know, people
right.
Making wild predictions. And then at the end of the year, he would read the predictions back, and I don't think one of them came to pass, not one of them, all these wild predictions. Sometimes I say that about some of the predictions in the stock market too, but I'm taking a mental note here. Deutsche Bank, 5,000, 2026, gold, and 8,000 S&P 500. Well, here's that.
Looking at your Palantir, you know, talking about in terms about, you know, beginning of the year calls, and that chart's starting to
work. Did anybody write that?
A little bit tick up.
It is. Did anybody write that prediction I made down? Well, I did. It was the title of the newsletter. Bill's conviction pick. Bill's top conviction pick for 2025. Well, we'll read it back. It went up 100% after that. And at most other guys there at that same conference I was at, ringing the bell on the NASDAQ, they picked Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. Yeah.
And it's now down for the year. So they didn't. They're on that Art Bell ledger. Aliens did not visit the Earth. At least we don't know, unless the government's hiding it from us.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get past that 225 PE ratio there.
That's
but,
the hard
forward
part.
PE. But that chart, it's starting to kind of
it's
peak
firming
back
up.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you know, in my newsletter last week, I said these AI stocks are not done. We're just looking for another entry point at a lower price than where we sold them. Not all of them. I mean, I think some of them, the core weaves of the world, might have been like one and done, and others. But I think an excellent example of one to get back into is Arista Networks. In fact, I put it on my list yesterday. It's quite a ways below where we sold it, which begs the question, why didn't you just write it down and then just hang with it? Well, it could have got a lot worse there, and we locked in a really big profit on the stock, Arista Networks. It was a large position, and it was starting to really weaken, and I just said, you know what? I don't now quite know about the future of this company at this price. Lock it in.
And you can see the tick up there on Arista. If you look at that
yesterday,
you look at that chart. That one, even the 1 year chart, you can kind of see it's a lot of these, especially these AI ish names, right? The ones that have been a little further out there, you know, they're the ones. I mean, they kind of all have that same little pattern on the on
yes.
that back end, right?
They've gone through a really tough sell off, and now they're shaping up. Trump administration negotiates a 71% discount on Ozempic and Wegovy for Medicare patients. So, you know, that goes down. The price was $9.59. It goes down to $274 for a 30-day supply of Ozempic, which is the best price yet. Now, to be on Medicare, you have to be 65
yeah.
or older.
Yeah. 65 or older.
But still, there's a lot of obese people that are 65 and older, believe me. So anyways, New York City. Okay, here it comes. They are proposing dropping $42 billion investment in BlackRock. Why? Because the firm has inadequate climate plans. So, you know, Mamdani is now, he's not officially the mayor yet. This comes from the New York City comp controller. Brad Lander has recommended that three of the city's pension funds withdraw their assets from BlackRock. Which BlackRock is pretty.
I thought BlackRock was the ones who led the charge on this stuff.
Yeah, but they're not doing enough. So imagine what BP and Chevron and the nuclear and the coal and all this and that. So, anyways, it's going to get interesting in New York City. There's a prediction to make in 2026. Will New York City survive Mamdani?
The interesting thing is the way you read that, it kind of made me think, especially since BlackRock has usually been the ones pushing, right? That,
yes.
You know, that socially responsible investing or whatever you want to call it, right? Whatever. You know.
Which has pretty much disappeared from the landscape. The ESG has pretty much disappeared.
And they made up the rules. Yeah, essentially, they made up the rules on it, and so they were kind of the key. They made up indexes, made a lot of money off of it. But the point is, when you read that, I was thinking, you know, maybe the fact that they had these, you know, climate initiatives, the fact that they weren't going to be profitable, it's like, hey, we don't need to invest. If we're the pension fund, it's like, hey, let's don't invest into BlackRock because they're, you know, some of these initiatives are not profitable.
That's
right?
Pretty crazy.
I don't know, but
okay. Now Hewlett Packard. Reporting earnings. Of course, that's a dog of a company. It has been behind the curve for, I don't know, 20 years, maybe 10 years, 15 years. But this is the fallout from the high memory. They call it a memory super cycle. Think what that does for Dell. Think what that does for Apple. Think what that does for Hewlett Packard. They all put a lot of memory, and they've got to raise the price on clients. Think of all those servers and how much memory is in there. So HP is having another bad day. It's not a stock I would own at all. It's a has been for it has been for many, many years. It's basically the same price it was 10 years ago. Earnings are about exactly where they were 10 years ago. Absolutely no innovation, nothing creative, nothing new, other than making hardware, printers, and ink. Their earnings have been negative growth for the last, no growth, negative contraction over the last four quarters. And sales are running about 2 or 3% growth per year. Yet, you know what? I see Hewlett Packard in many, many portfolios that come to me, and that's like the first one I get rid of. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I thought just for fun, we're going to pull up the Best Stocks Now app. You know, Hewlett Packard, they tried. I mean, they hired Carly Fiorina. I want to say Meg Whitman ran Hewlett Packard, trying to bring it back. Nothing worked. Nothing took. And it still struggles today. Probably be better off as a private company. Let some private equity firm buy Hewlett Packard, you know, take it private, put some lipstick on it, blah, 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 and then float it again as an IPO at some point. But the performance over the last 10 years, well, it's better than I thought, but it's getting worse all the time. Because over the last 12 months, Hewlett Packard's lost a third of its value. I guess AI doesn't even touch. It's like a freight train that goes right by the Hewlett Packard plant there, and they don't get any benefit at all from the AI revolution. The S&P over the last 12 months up 13.4%. Hewlett Packard's down 34%. Over the last 3 years, it's gone negative by 4% per year, while the S&P is plus 23. Why would anybody own it is my question. I still have my Hewlett Packard printer back there, and I haven't bought ink for it in like 4 years because I got that one with the reservoir of magenta and all of that, and no issues there. It gets a performance grade of D+. You say, well, it's a deep value stock, Bill. We're deep value investors. We're looking for assets down there in the balance sheet that haven't been discovered yet, hidden assets. Well, when I do a valuation on the shares, I get a whopping upside potential of 31.6% over the next 5 years. And that's using a growth rate of 1% per year, 1% per year. So anyways, the good, the bad, the ugly. And there's a lot of really mediocre stocks in the indexes and, of course, obviously, in folks' portfolios all across America. And that's one of my missions in life is to point out the really bad stocks out there, the mediocre stocks, and try to get people to upgrade just a little bit to something a little. You know, there's another trend I'm seeing. These big tech stocks are issuing bonds. The latest one, SoftBank. SoftBank is raising $3.2 billion from retail investors, a coupon rate of 4%, Barry.
with their track record, I'll pass.
I'll pass. The term is 7 years. You can get a better rate on a U.S. Treasury.
Didn't they have the WeWork debacle, correct?
When yeah,
WeWork, and then they finally the one thing that saved their bacon was the arm, the taking arm private.
Yes, so they've had a dicey track record themselves. I don't know that I'd loan them money, and I hope they're not going to buy Bitcoin with the money. But they're looking. They unloaded their Nvidia stake, and now they got to replace that cash. One way to do it is to float a bond yen denominated.
Well, on the bond portfolio side, I'm kind of excited about some of this new issuance, particularly coming from large tech. Some of it may not meet our criteria in terms of return criteria, but the good news is it'll absorb a lot of bond dollars will chase those, which will actually increase the yields potentially in your next level corporate investment grades,
yes.
Right? So hopefully it'll allow us to find some bonds
out
there.
It's like 2 days after Thanksgiving, 3 days after Thanksgiving. There's not much left on that bird. Now you're down to turkey soup. I've seen people nurse that turkey for 3 or 4 days. I'm ready to go out for some pizza by the next day.
Yeah, change it up a little bit, right?
Totally sick of it. Dell is, modestly a player in AI. They've done a little bit better than Hewlett-Packard because the servers, obviously. But these memory prices have got to be weighing on Dell. Of course, the AI guys, they don't care. They're just paying for it. We need the servers now, whatever the memory cost. And they can't keep up with the demand for memory. But, it's hard for me. I go back to the late 90s. Michael Dell was really an innovator. I mean, really the guy that commoditized the PC in my book. And Hewlett-Packard. I remember having a Hewlett-Packard PC. But Dell, Michael Dell,
Gateway? Gateway. I was thinking about the cow. I was thinking of the cow box.
Yeah, that was Sun Microsystems, I think. I was talking about this with the kid yesterday. He builds computers himself, the components and whatnot. And I said, I had one of the very first personal computers, K-Pro. It was a guy down in San Diego, Dan, something K. It wasn't Danny K. That's the guy that dances I've got White Christmas on my mind right now. That's my wife's favorite movie. She cries through it every time. I'm thinking, why is she crying? David Kay, and I knew his son, Alan Kay, and they came up with K-Pro, and that was such a hot thing. They had a circus tent built in their parking lot so they could work a 24-hour shift to bang out those K-Pros. I don't know what memory. There was no such thing as memory back then.
Not
it was
much.
Hard disk, hard drives made by Seagate and Western Digital. We're out of time. So we will be back Friday doing a live show. One of the few people in the market, yeah. I guess. I won't be in the Hamptons. I don't have a cabin in the Hamptons. I'd like to have one. Maybe I'll look into one. Anyways, if you'd like to have something to read over the weekend, get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. If you want to get set up, I see another buying opportunity probably early next year or maybe even late this year. I don't know. We'll just have to see. It's kind of in the Fed's hand, really, at this point in time. Set up an appointment with us. Boy, we've had a lot of new money flowing in here with new accounts and whatnot. I love to see it. Call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.